Gracious Father, we humbly, reverently approach Thee this morning, believing, Father, that You are wrapping up our time here on earth. The Holy Spirit is getting ready to pull up from the earth. And Your Scripture tells us that when You, which are in our midst, leave the midst of humanity, You'll take us with You. So, Father, we're looking forward to that day. And we're asking You to help us be prepared. As we see the world going to war, we see the economy going south, we see all the things, Lord, that Your prophet warned us about. And we ask ourselves, have we listened? And have we prepared? So we ask You to help us, Lord, to have a better understanding of these things as we cover them this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning, we're going to take a subject down, the token of the economic judgments. This will be number two. Last Sunday we looked at about half a dozen comments Brother Brown made concerning the token being applied at the time of the judgments that God sends upon the earth. During the sermon he brought out that there was a token at the time of the flood, a token during the trials of Job, then the exodus from Egypt, God gave us a token, is it up there? Okay. And the battle of Jericho where Rahab the harlot was given the promises of the token. It was told whoever came in under that token would be saved. He also showed New Testament examples in the book of Acts where the Philippian jailer and his household were saved by the token. So we have about a half a dozen different places where Brother Branham pointed us to where the token came at the time of judgment. Then we began looking at things Brother Branham said concerning the oncoming storms of judgment that are beginning to take place in this hour. He said the judgments would come in many different ways. He named a few, such as economic depression, like the world has never seen. Actually, I was listening to a report yesterday where they said the actual depression began in 2008. He said the governments have tried to push it over and say that we've had things were getting better. What's that word they use? Huh?
Progression.
No. Although they're a bunch of progressives, but recovery. Yeah. They've been claiming, well, we've got a recovery for the last few years. That's hogwash. Forgive me for using Brother Bell's words, that's his. The unemployment rate is closer to 29%. They're saying it's 5%, but they're not counting all the people that ran out of unemployment insurance. So they don't count. If you're on unemployment insurance, you count. If you quit looking for a job, you don't count. If you're working two or three part-time jobs to make a living, you don't count. You see? So it's all completely bogus. Everything you see is a fraud. This election cycle is a fraud. All these guys, look, there's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No man is going to come along and save this country. It's doomed. Brother Brown said so 56. 60 years later, we see it is doomed. I look for a market crash this year. I look for the reset of the dollar this year. Gold is already beginning to take off. It's gone up $200 since they. What happened was it went down a little bit when they added a 0.25% interest rate, and the gold went down to like 1050. Now it's up to 1247. So in less than 2 months, or about 6 weeks. It's going up $200. So we're looking at things are getting set. We have, and maybe I'll just, while we're on the subject, World War III is on the verge of taking place. Limited nuclear war within 18 days with Saudi and friends. Mass 350,000 troops, 20,000 tanks, 2,450 planes, 460 helicopters for Syria invasion. They're massing right here near Afar, and let me just make this a little bit bigger, near Afar, and they're heading for Damascus. Russia has said, you do this, and you've declared war. Russia is prepared to use tactical nuclear weapons in this case. You are looking at all the countries that are involved, because the Saudis, with 25 countries, 350,000 soldiers on the ground are partnered with the United States. Isn't that wonderful? The United States has been weaponizing ISIS. Isn't that wonderful? And we're going to look at how this nation is one of the two beasts spoken of in Revelation 13. Russia will have no choice but to use tactical battlefield nuclear weapons to defend Syria once the ground invasion begins within 18 days. By 350,000 troops, 20,000 tanks, 2,450 military planes, 460 helicopters from 25 countries massing in northern Saudi Arabia. Syria has warned any aggressor entering the country will go home in wooden coffins. Russia has said any country sending ground troops into Syria without permission will be considered a declaration of war. How would we like it if 25 countries decided to send ground troops into the United States? Wouldn't that be considered a declaration of war? Thousands of soldiers from regional countries are set to participate in what is being called a military exercise, media reports say. Saudi media said 350,000 forces from Persia, Gulf, Arab states, and a number of other countries will take part in a Saudi-led military maneuver in the area of Hafar al-Batin in northern Saudi Arabia. In addition to massive troop buildup, some 2,540 warplanes, 20,000 tanks, and 460 helicopters will also participate in the exercise. Isn't it something that we always have an exercise going on when there's actually, then it becomes a real thing?
Yeah.
Like when the Twin Towers went down, we were having an exercise with the airplanes, so they weren't allowed to scramble. They were told to hold down, don't go up. The exercise is scheduled to last 18 days during which the airspace over northern Saudi Arabia will be closed. See just a picture of the troops amassing. I think it's interesting too. You look at the helmets anymore. Who used those helmets in World War II?
Germans.
Everything is going to the Nazism. It's just media reports say the exercise will be the largest in the history of the region. However, Superstation 95 has done research, and there is no known example of this much military power being massed for an exercise anywhere ever. It seems quite obvious to any thinking person that the notion of an exercise is fraudulent on its face. This is an invasion force, and when it moves, it will mean war. Egypt, Sudan, Pakistan, and Persian Gulf Arab states are among the 25 countries that will also take part in the exercise. The maneuver comes at a sensitive time after Saudi Arabia announced readiness to participate in any ground incursion in Syria if the U.S.-led coalition decides to start such an operation. Now, for those of you that are hooked up with us on the internet, you can't see the what we've got here, but I will put this as an addendum to the material so that you can read it online. All right. Saudi Arabia is a member of the U.S.-led coalition that has been conducting air raids inside of Syria. The airstrikes have been going on without any authorization from the Syrian government or a UN mandate since September 2014. The Saudi exercise is believed as preparation for a possible ground incursion into Syria. Now, if you watch the political debates going on, it's interesting that Ted Cruz had noted that we have only 15 to 30 sorties going out every day, but if you recall during the Gulf War, there was over 1,000 sorties going out. So in other words, Obama has been sending our planes on a very, very sparse, just to say that they're doing it, raids on the ISIS. However, our people have to notify the drivers of the trucks that are taking the oil. They have to notify them that they're going to bomb them so they can get out of the truck. Now, who ever heard of this in any history of battle? Let the enemy know you're coming, you're going to bomb that area, tell them to get out because we don't want anybody hurt. That's not the way you conduct war. But that's the way we're conducting war because ISIS is paid for by the United States government. They have 2,400 Humvees that cost taxpayers I don't know how many $100,000 a piece because they're armor plate and everything else. They wouldn't give them to our own troops. That's why they came home in body bags. They gave them to the Afghan and to the whatever the Muslim people are supposed to fight, but then when the ISIS came in, they just hightailed it the other way, left all the equipment. So they are the most well-armed army in the world outside of U.S. and Russia, and perhaps China. They are very well-armed. Now, reacting to it, but all we're doing is just a front to appease the people. Oh yeah, we're sending sorties, we're sending things. It's hogwash. It's actually a deliberate setting up for World War III. You know why? Because when the dollar crashes, every time the dollar has crashed, the country is going to war. It did it back in 29. We went to war. What was the year, 33 or 30? 39. So, was it 39 or was it?
41. Actually, it was 41. December
41 when this country went to war, but Germany and everybody else went to war.
39.
Indeed. Germany came out of a Great Depression after World War I. Germany had a Great Depression to where one penny U.S. at that time could have bought the average mortgage in Germany. So Germany then built up. They had to have an enemy. The Jews were the enemy. So they built up. And it's just like Nero had to have an enemy, so the Christians were the enemy. Well, now it's back to ground one again. Christians are the enemy. And everywhere around the world, Christians are being bludgeoned, they're being hung, they're being crucified, they're being beheaded, everything else. Brother Bram warned us that the government would turn on the Christians. I'm going to read that this morning when we get to there. But reacting to the troop employment, Syrian foreign minister, he said, "Let no one think that they can attack Syria or violate its sovereignty, because I assure you any aggressor will return to their country in wooden coffin." Pavel Krashen-Ninnikov, a deputy of Russia State Duma, has warned Saudi Arabia that any military ground operation in Syria without Damascus consent would amount to a declaration of war. Okay, so there you have it. Now this morning we're going to be looking at the economic storm, but we're going to be looking at, as part of the economic storm, we're going to look at how the mark of the beast ties in with the economic judgment, not the plagues and all that other stuff. The mark of the beast itself is tied with economics. We're seeing the world heading toward an economic judgment. When we go, the mark of the beast, let me just say it before we get to the quotes, that the mark of the beast, Brother Bram said, is in the forehead and in the hand. It's in your thoughts and in your actions. It's already taking place. He said, when the Holy Ghost came, the mark of the beast came. Because to reject the Holy Ghost, you can only have one other thing, and that's the mark of the beast. But the mark of the beast will have to go into implementation. Brother Ram alludes to that it could take place after the tribulation takes place, that there will actually be a mark. Now he says, I believe it's spiritual, but it's got to be applied. It's got to be implemented. Just like the token is spiritual. You see, doctrine is intellectual. But the Holy Ghost, the life of Christ, is spiritual. It's supernatural. You see, doctrine is intellectual. Don't forget this. Brother Bram says, you can have the doctrine wrong, and that has nothing to do with your salvation. He said, serpent seed, it's a good tool for us to understand better our position in Christ and how the whole plan of God works. But he said, it doesn't save you, and you can't be lost by not understanding it. You see, people want to fight over doctrine. That's an evil spirit. The Muslims do it. The Jews did it. They crucified Jesus over doctrine. The Muslims kill you over doctrine. The Catholic spirit will kill you over doctrine. That's what the whole Inquisition was about. Yes, it was. You weren't in their group, so you're out, so we'll kill you. All right, we're going to study this morning, so please bear with me. Then we began looking at things that Brother Branham said concerning the oncoming storms of judgment that are beginning to take place in this hour. He said the judgments will come in many different ways. He named a few, such as the economic depression like the world has never seen, World War III, including germ warfare, worldwide famine and pestilence, along with natural disasters like earthquakes and tidal waves, and even heavenly judgments as well that will shake the earth and everything in it. We read in Hebrews 12:26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. So we know that this is the hour for the payback to the nations for rejecting the living God who came down with a shout, which is a living word. Now this morning I would like to pick up where we left off last Sunday, and we're going to read from the book of Daniel for our text, in Daniel 11:21-23. Now, remember, everything in red is the Bible. Everything in black are just my comments about that. Everything in blue is Brother Branham's. All right? And in his estate, that means in his office, he shall stand up, or there shall rise up a vile person. Now, the word vile means morally debased, depraved, or despicable. Now, we know the popes are that way. We know that this particular pope has been indicted by the world court for having actually taken little children and sacrificed them in Black Sabbath type things down when he was cardinal down in Argentina. The pope before that was forced to resign because he had been indicted, and they had gone public with it, and so that was Benedict. He had also been charged with child molestation and everything else. These people are perverts. How can you... Look, let me just say this. The Bible says if you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, then you will come forth the world speaking lies. Right? All right. So you come forth the world speaking lies, then you can't blame them. That's the way they are. They're born perverted. And if you don't receive the Holy Ghost, that's the only thing that will change your nature. That's why I've said for years, people think, I've got the doctrine right. I sat under the right teacher. I sat under the right prophet. Therefore, I got the Holy Ghost. Hogwash! Right. If you haven't met God face to face and had a backside of the desert experience and had your life changed, because that's the only thing that you know, that your life is changed, and you say, well, you know, I thought the evidence of the Holy Ghost was believing the word for the hour. It is. It is. But what does it mean to believe? Is it an intellectual conception? Or is it your life is oriented and lives according to that word? Brother Bill told me, the last thing he told me, and I've got it on tape. He said, Brian, he said, we understand the doctrine. He said, not too much the doctrine anymore. He said, I want you to preach on the life. He said, without the life, we've got nothing. So that's what we're doing. All right? Now, and shall stand up, rise up a vile person, morally debased, depraved, and despicable. And we all knew that this president we have now was a homosexual before he was even elected president. Men were coming out of the closet, out of the woodwork. Two men had died. They were killed. One went and he was threatened, and they tried to kill him. They tried to poison him. And he came forth and he gave testimony that in that church that they attended in Chicago was called the Down Low Club. There was about 20 homosexuals, and they arranged for them to marry women in the church so that they could look like they were straight while they're having their little flings. Now, it's very evident the man, even Newsweek, put his face on the cover a year or two ago, and they said the first homosexual president of America. And now we've got another one, a lesbian running, Hillary Clinton, and it's very well known that she's a lesbian. We used to joke about it when she was, when Bill was first. But it's not a joke anymore. It's facts. There's facts. There's people also coming out of the woodwork saying she is. This nation is corrupted. No president, I don't care, Brother Branham, you could raise up Abraham Lincoln, who is a righteous man. You'd raise up one in every county in this nation, it's still doomed. Thus saith the Lord, according to vindicated prophets. All right. And it says, he shall stand up, a vile person, to whom they shall not give honor of the kingdom. Now notice his ability to serve has been tested nearly 40 times in the court because he is not a natural born citizen. But he shall come in peaceably. And listen, because he's not a natural born citizen, that fits one of the judgments of Deuteronomy 28 that says the foreigner shall become the head and you shall become the tail. Now we're set to have another. If Ted Cruz gets in, he was born in Canada. He's not a natural born citizen. He is a citizen. And he was born a citizen, but he's not a natural born citizen. Which means he wasn't born in U.S. soil. Now, notice he shall come in peacefully, who came in office, and the first thing he received Notice, he shall come in peaceably, the Bible says. Notice, he came into office, and the very first thing he received was what? The Nobel Peace Prize. Who came into office, and the first thing he received was the Nobel Peace Prize? It was Obama. Now listen, he was sworn into office on January 17th of 2009, and the Nobel Committee will not receive a nomination after the first meeting that takes place after February 1st of any particular year. So they had up till January 31st to submit the nomination. Now listen, that means they had to have been nominated him immediately after he was sworn into office, and the maximum time they had to do it was 13 days. What's 13? The number of what? That's America. After he's sworn into office. 13 is the number of America in the scripture, with the 13 stars, 13 stripes, 13 colonies, and he shall obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Flattery is an insincere compliment or speech. It's excessive, insincere praise. So who came into office by flattering the people, saying, yes, we can, and promising the people everything they lusted for, cell phones, paid college, paid medical bills, paid cars, paid gasoline, paid houses, and the list goes on and on and on. But all were lies except for the cell phones. Now, Obama is nothing but a puppet for higher-ups who are pulling his strings. But he is the figurehead and fall guy that will take the blame for the real false prince of the South, who is the Pope himself, who as a cardinal was called a prince of the church. So he is who is pulling the strings. And notice, he's from South America, the first. We know that the prince of the North, according to Brother Branham, is Russia. The leader of Russia. We know that the United States gives life to the beast system, which is the Roman Church. The United States is the other beast that comes up out of the land and is called the image of the beast because it has two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. The first horn is the ecclesiastical horn, or the World Council of Churches, and the other horn, the civil horn, is the United Nations. Now, the horns are significant in understanding this beast because the horn of the male ram, or a lamb, or ram, are used to call the people to the gathering. It's called the shofar. Anyway, it's a long horn, and they blow it, and it gathers the people. And the two horns, one gathers the people, the United Nations. The other horn gathers the people, the religious world, in the World Council of Churches. You see how it's significant? It had to look like a lamb, because the lamb's horn is used for the gathering. Hallelujah. It's just, the Bible is just so perfect. It's just wonderful. Therefore, America looks like a lamb because it has two horns, the World Council of Churches and the United Nations, and they are both located in New York, which is the head of commerce in the United States. And notice, though, that this lamb speaks like a dragon, and we know the dragon is Satan. Now, I have a picture. I don't know how well you can see it, but actually, it's not as good as one. When I taught history back in the 1977, we had a history book that showed the 1812... what America looked like in 1812. I wish that we would have cell phones back then, because I would have taken a picture of that particular picture. I grew up through hundreds of United States maps, and this is the best one I can find. But if you notice, the leg coming down here, the head right here, it's got two horns, which is the legs. It looks like a lamb. That's America. Looks like a lamb. Physically, geographically, and spiritually, it looks like a lamb because, oh, it's a Christian nation. Obama had one thing right. It's not a Christian nation. Not anymore. It's a polluted, perverted, Satan's eating is what it is. Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Notice, seven heads, ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns. And upon his head, the names of blasphemy, or as Brother Brown said, blasphemous names. Now, this is the same beast or power that we see in Revelation 17. Now, I know most of you know these things. This is kind of a review, but for those people that are young and have never gone through the Church Age Book or the Seals, or Fox's Book of Martyrs and all these other things, you don't know these things. So I'm going to try to lay out some historical things for you. Alright, and the king, one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, notice, the seven angels, and it's actually the seventh angel had the seven vials. Each angel had a vial, but the seventh angel had seven vials. Alright, and those are the judgments. And he said, come hither, I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Alright, the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, remember, she's called a whore by God, and the woman in the Bible represents a church, always does. By her description, she is either a true church or an adulterous church. This year is speaking of an adulterous church. From it wasn't so from the beginning, Brother Brown said, Eve was the first one to pervert the human race. She was the one. Then Eve, which represents a church, a woman in the Bible, always represents the church. Christ is coming for an espoused virgin. The old prostitute of the Bible was called the church, setting on seven hills, the Roman church. Old church, and she had daughters, which was the others that followed her and come out of her, was born from her in their same denominational barriers, the same things, same kind of a system. In them churches, there are fine people, but it's the system that binds them. It's not the church itself, it's the people in the church. It's the system behind it that binds them, puts them into a place, it breaks out the fellowship, it won't let them go on with God. And it's a pitiful thing, but that's what does it. That's what God hates. Not the people in there, but the system that binding them in what he is what he hates. It's that organization that tells them if they go to another church, they're going to be excommunicated, and the people don't know what to do, and they'll pay for it someday. You see, that's why I stand so strong against organized religion. I hate it because God hates it. Now notice this church in Revelation 17:2. It says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away, and what does wine represent? Huh? Stimulation of revelation. So notice, it's the stimulation. It's her stimulation that brings them to fornicate with her. You understand what that means? All right. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the stimulation of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman, a church, sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, Brother Brown said from the message, all things, God wants to perform his word by his power. And when the church denies his power, how can he perform and vindicate his word? When the church explains it away and says it's for some other day and something, how can God, who wants to fulfill his word and perform his word among the people, and the people deny that he does? Yet, they go through all the rituals, see? Here's what happens. God wants to perform by the Holy Ghost and vindicate his word, and the church wants to perform. They have to deny the Holy Ghost. They want to perform to make a big organization and what else? To bring membership. No matter what you have to baptize sinners, drunkards, bootleggers, anything else, and take them into the body of the church. No wonder Revelation 17 said, this old prostitute woman that had a bunch of daughters, that she was full of names, or blasphemous names, churches, or daughters, calling the names of her daughters, people who join churches and call that salvation. It's a blasphemy. Now, I know the King James here says names of blasphemy, but you look at the diaglot, see if it is. It says blasphemous names. There's quite a difference. She is full of those. She's got 900 and something different organizations in her. Plenty of blasphemous names, like Baptist and Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic, Lutheran, you name it. There's over 900 different denominations back then. There's, I don't know how many, 2,500 today. Blasphemous names. Why don't they call themselves Christians? Got away by some man-made tradition, got away from the true worship, power out of the... Oh, you say I went down there, and there's a lot of power. Brother, the whole floor was dancing in the spirit, and not enough faith to heal a toothache. You call that power? That's not power. That's a blessing. There's a lot of difference between blessings and power. God makes his blessings to fall upon the righteous and the unrighteous. The sun shines, see? We've got to get back to the truth, friends. We've got to come back to what God means. To what he says. He means, see? And if he hid his face from their prayers. And so we see the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, royalty. Scarlet, the color of the princes of the church. They're called cardinals. We have a cardinal in the United States, in Ohio. It's a bird. It's a red bird. Cardinal is a reddish color. And notice, these are pictures here. I don't know how well you can see them. Of the cardinals, all decked in their red robes. The woman, the church, was arrayed in purple and scarlet. And decked with gold. Look at all the gold and precious stones. They had an exhibit a few years ago. I went down. I don't know, Derek, did you? It was at the museum down here at, you know, the big place. Used to be a railroad station in Cincinnati. And they had dozens and dozens and dozens of these tiaras, what they call them. These Pope's headdresses. And you should have seen all the diamonds and rubies and emeralds. And you talk about the wealth that was sitting on just one headdress. And people starving to death in the Catholic churches all over the world. You talk about sinful. Jesus had a crown of thorns. I'd like to see the Pope wear one. Instead of all this, it just shows you it's an anti-Christ religion. Having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Golden cup in her hand. And upon her forehead was written the name, Mystery Babylon the Great. What does Babylon mean? Confusion. Confusion the Great, the mother of harlots, and Obama nation of the earth. I spelled that so that you'd all understand. Actually, we've got a picture of Obama here bowing to the Pope. And here someone morphed Obama as a Pope. Because that's what he thinks he is. He thinks he's the Mahdi, the 13th Mahdi. You wait, before he's out of office, I believe he's going to go back to being openly Muslim. He's already gone to their mosque here recently. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. You see, I've been in Bruges and different places in Europe. You see over here and here, they still have them right in the main center. I think Sister Michael Hanna, you were there with us. You've seen them, my wife, some others. They still have the big steel rings that they tied the people up to, where they flogged them or where they burnt them. You go into the church and they had so many hairs of John the Baptist or something in there that you had to pay money to go see him. I didn't go in. But, people just, it's just commerce. That's all it is. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee of the mystery of the woman, the church, and of the beast of the power that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. The beast which thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend into the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Now, according to William Branham, this is papal succession. Was, is not, etc. From why we're not a denomination, Brother Branham said, now watch. Listen to this just a minute. Five kings, which it was five, which was fallen, five kings. If you want that from the history, I'll show it to you. And one is and one's to come. Now watch, the beast. Now the beast wasn't a king. He was one which is not, and yet he is and is not. And yet he is and is not. What is it? Succession of popes. A power. A beast ruling. That's when pagan Rome was converted to make papal Rome. Pagan Rome was converted And then it became the papacy, which they had a pope instead of a king. And the pope is the spiritual king. And that's the reason he's crowned spiritual king. Claims to be the vicar of Jesus Christ. And there you are. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now remember, a woman types of church, so this church sits on seven mountains. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is and one, and the other is not yet come. And when he is come, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, he is even the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings when are with the beast. Now notice, these are not kings, but they receive power as though they're kings, which means they're not kings, they're dictators. And Brother Bram says, why we are not in denomination? He said, now let's see. The beast that was and is not, the 11th verse, and yet is the eighth, now the seventh and goes into perdition. He'll continue on until he hits the bottomless pit at the end of the road. And the ten horns which thou saw are ten kings. Now watch here. If you want to see something striking, watch this. Are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as one king, 1 hour with the beast. They're not crowned kings. They're dictators. See? They never was crowned king, but they receive power as kings for 1 hour in the reign of the beast. That's just in this little shadowy time right now where dictators are rising up. See? Receive power as king, 1 hour with the beast. Now, all right? And these have one mind and shall give their power and their strength unto the beast. Why do you think we have this great coalition right now? They're doing the bidding of the Vatican. You can see that every president of the free world has kissed the ring or bowed to the Pope or knelt in submission to him. We see President Bush bows to the Pope in the top. In the middle, we see the Mexican president, Vicente Fox, bows to the Pope, kisses his ring. Prime Minister Tony Blair bows to the Pope. Queen Elizabeth bows to the Pope on her knees. Belgium King Albert bows to the Pope. President Obama bows to the Pope. How many kissed his ring? I don't mean to be crude, but where has that ring been? It's like the superstitious Irish. They go and they kiss the Blarney Stone. In order to kiss the Blarney Stone, you have to lay on your back and reach back and you kiss the Blarney Stone. And my aunt told me when she was over there, she was talking to some of the local boys. The local boys, every night, they go over and they pee on, forgive my language, they go over and they pee on the Blarney Stone. So that when the American tourists come over and they want to kiss the Blarney Stone, you see how graphically perverted this world is. And kissing the man's ring, kneeling down to the man. Now these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I just want you to look at these pictures of it. Every nation. We've got the G8 covered. I could probably find some pictures of France and Japan. They wanted Brother Branham when he was going to meet the Pope. They wanted to. They said, we need to cut off your cuffs on your pants. He said, that's okay. He said, then when you get in there, we want to bow down and kiss his ring. He said, I'll never do that. He said, just cancel the meeting. Call no man. Papa. Except for Allie, you can call Grandpa Papa. Now, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Notice, they shall make war with the Lamb. Whatsoever you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done, or my children, you've done unto me. We see Newsweek, the war on Christians. We see Fox News calling, Obama. It's the Obama's war on Christians continues. Makes mockery of our Bibles and guns. He's done everything he can. You know, he's never... There was a woman in Oklahoma that some Muslim came and cut her head off. She's a grandmother. He never even sent any delegation, didn't even send a janitor to her funeral. But he sent one of his top delegates down to the Muslims in that city to say, hey, we know that people are getting upset with you, but you know, we're behind you. As long as I'm in office, there won't be any persecution in this country of Muslims. Where was he when the Catholic, or when the little Christian woman was, had her head taken off? Where was he when the police officer that was sitting in his car in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, and the Muslim man went up and shot him point blank? No call to his wife, his widow? No call to say, I'm really sorry. It's you know, I just wish the Muslim people would get their people under control. No, 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 no. America will never, Obama said, America will never be at war with the Muslims. Well, but they're certainly at war with Christians. Christians being beheaded all over the world. And what do? Do we reach out to help? Nope. Nope, we open our doors to the Muslims, Queen, but only 39 Christians have been allowed to come in. Tens of thousands, in fact, hundreds of thousands of Muslims have been welcomed in. It's beyond repair, brother, sister. It's beyond repair. You better fall in love with Jesus. You better get ready to go home, because if you're here for the tribulation, you're going to be hunted down. I don't care. You say, well, I don't believe. It don't matter. You're going to be hunted down anyway. And you won't be able to buy or sell. You're going to be hunted down like dogs. I'm not preaching fear to get you, you know, to come to Jesus through fear. I'm just telling you that's the way it is. That's just the facts. And it's time you young people understood these things. It's time you young people put away all the social stuff and get more and more and more in studying. Because the Bible says, study the word as a workman that needeth not be ashamed. So, from the invasion of the USA, Brother Brad said, now let me tell you that when Roosevelt and the man's dad let him rest, I trust he is, come in and run in three or four terms and taken over just a preliminary dictatorship. Preliminary means what? Anybody tell me, what does preliminary mean?
Before,
sure. Just, he was the kind of the pattern. She broke the pieces. Everything's all smattered. The Republicans are just as bad as six of one and half a dozen of the other. For every kingdom is going to be smashed, but the kingdom of Jesus Christ shall stand and reign forever. And that's right. And Daniel saw the rock hewed out of the mountains and hit the political world back there and smashed it into a grinding powder like that, like the wheat on the thrashing floor in the summertime. But that rock grew into a great mountain that spread over and filled the whole heavens and the earth. I believe that's going to be the New Jerusalem. Now, from here to him, we said they never had a juvenile delinquency among the Mennonite people. They never had any rock and roll teenage stuff among the Mennonite people. And if they can produce a crop like that without our modern education, God be with them is my prayer. I'd rather have my boy in something like that and not even know his ABCs. I'd rather he know Christ and be born again and not know the difference between split beans and coffee. Right. We need the old-fashioned gospel preached again in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. When our nation gets to the place that it robs us of our Constitution, it shows that communism has rotten it to the core. Now, I think you're all aware that last night the Chief Justice, what was his name? Scalia. Scalia was the last bastion of any hope of our country staying with the Constitution. He's gone. 79 years old. He died early. He died in his sleep. I think he might have been poisoned. That's just my own belief, because I think this country is rotten. I think they want to put in another one just like him. And there's four more that are over 80 years old. That'll be going. So, you know, the conservatives over here, we want to get our guy in. And the liberals, we want to make things even worse. And you know what? I don't care how conservative they are. There's no hope of saving this nation unless they undid everything Every executive order that's ever been on the books, get rid of them all. That's the only way, and come back to Christ. And they won't do it. They won't do it. You try to talk to people about Jesus Christ. You try to talk to them about this message, about holiness and things of God. Ha, go on. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. When our nation gets to the place that robs us of our Constitution and shows that communism has rotten it to the core, exactly right, and they've got a man who's a proclaimed communist running, and he's very popular with the people. And most of you young people, now I don't say you because you've been raised up, a lot of you in this message, but people your age group are so dumbed down by the public school system, they wouldn't know communism from conservatism. They couldn't give you a definition of either one. But as long as the government's going to give them cell phones, they'll vote for that party. And that's how much cell phones mean to people. I've reminded many times just to take it out and just hit it with a hammer. Who needs it? Well, you say, I need it to communicate. Well, you know what? Maybe you did a little bit less communicating with your friends and did a little bit more communicating on your knees with God, you'd be ready for rapture. Well, when I'm down, I got to talk to somebody. Yeah, get on your knees and talk to Jesus Christ. He's my best friend. Should be yours too. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whole, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So the sea or the water represents peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues or languages. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in the hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Which I believe we're getting ready, because as soon as the rapture takes place, as soon as we're out of here, brothers and sisters, in fact, even before the rapture, even before the change of the body, when we're gathered together for the resurrection, it's over. He which is filthy shall be filthy still. And you have already seen the pics of the world leaders, all bound to the Pope. The first G5 World Economic Summit took place at the urging of the Vatican on September 22, 1985. That's not so long ago. It might be for some of you because you weren't born then. But for me, it's like, man, that just seems like yesterday. On September 22, 1985, at the Plaza Hotel in New York. New York again. Remember the head of the lamb? The head? In New York, the group of five leading industrialized powers, the United States, Japan, West Germany, Britain, and France, agreed to act and to reverse the destabilizing surge in the dollar, which had gained more than 50% in value over the previous 7 years. The sixth signer of the document was the Secretary of State of the Vatican. Six is the member of man. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Notice the city sits on seven mountains, which sets upon the sea, which is nations, tongues, languages, multitudes of people, and rules over the kings of the earth. And we're looking at the Vatican City, which is the Vatican State, the only city in the world to be its own sovereign state. And here's pictures of the Vatican City. And here's a picture here of the 1 square mile of property that's called a world power. No wonder it'll only take one nuclear bomb to get rid of her. And listen, it's very interesting that for years and years and years, the Soviet Union was a very anti-Christ, very communistic, very opposition to anything that is righteous. But the man Putin, he's found religion. He has helped his church to rebuild all their buildings. He's donated money out of his own pocket. He's done more for the charities. He's opened the doors for Christian, even for this message to come in. He's the only one that's standing up for the Christians around the world that are being slaughtered. And now he's gone to slaughter those that are slaughtering the Christians. And our government says, oh no, all that money we put into ISIS, down the tube. And yes, it is true. I could show you tapes where our government officials said, we have funded ISIS. You say, how in the world could we fund our enemy? Well, ask me then how we could give $170 billion to Iran and call them our enemy. The world is insane. The prophet said they'd be insane. We're living amongst a people who are totally have lost their mind, and the only people, before it's all over, that'll have the right mind are those that have the mind of Christ. Revelation 13 and 2. There's a lot back in verse 1. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, which is Satan, gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. Now Rome is a city, but the great red dragon is Satan. And he is the one who has given the Roman church her seat and authority, because he still rules the nations until Jesus comes back and claims his inheritance. Verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now, talking about Satan here, the great red dragon, and notice it says his tail, and in the English it says T-A-I-L, but Brother Branham, and I didn't have time to put all of this, or I've already have another 30 pages that we're going to just keep on going until we've got it. Excuse me. But Brother Branham said that this tale actually is not the T-A-I-L, but it's the tale that he told. And I thought, being a vindicated prophet, he would know that it came from Scripture. So I searched and I found in Isaiah chapter, I think 7 verse 9, somewhere in there. And it says, the ancient and honorable, he is the head. But the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. So the lies are the tail. You understand? The tail is the tail. You see how beautiful the English language was made just for this hour? So we'd have our understanding. Now, and his tail, his lies, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That's Christ he's talking about. Now notice it was the Roman Empire that was ready to destroy the Christ child when it was born. And then in 476, C.E. Romulus, the last of the Roman emperors in the West, was overthrown by the Germanic leader, Oda Acer, who became the first barbarian to rule in Rome. The order that the Roman Empire had brought to the Western Europe for 1,000 years was no more. Now, it's interesting that, you know, these are Western writers, and they say, you know, barbarians, but who was a barbarian at Rome? Huh? They crucify people. That's the worst kind of death you can see. You know, if somebody locks your head off, at least it's quick. You don't feel it. Unless they do like the ISIS does and they saw it. When the Roman Empire died, it died when the Goths and the Visigoths came in and destroyed her. It looked like she was totally dead as a world power, but she was resurrected as a papal power. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. That's civil Rome. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. They wondered because, you know, hey, what's going on here? And they worshipped the dragon, that's Satan, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who was like unto the beast? Who was able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, 42 months is 3.5 years. And that's the extent of the Great Tribulation period. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in the heaven. claiming the saints and using them as part of her scheme to squeeze out money from the inhabitants of earth. Notice, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven, using them to make money. Just like Brother Bale always said, people in this message, preachers in this message, using the name of William Branham to make their moolah. So we just have pictures here of the Inquisition. Because it says it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and I just got a number of pictures here of the Great Inquisition. And if you've read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll find that 68 million Christian people were put to death, and some Jews, were put to death during the time of the Great Inquisition. 68 million people. But I found out that, you know, Muhammad himself and his Inquisition killed another 250 million people. So you talk about times of bloodshed, it was just atrocious. And all the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. So you have all these people, we saw these presidents. We know that George Bush and Tony Blair, after they stepped down from their office, they became Catholics. And you notice it says, the people that worship are those who don't have their names on the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God you don't worship that spirit. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. I'm getting back to Revelation 13. We're going to pick up at 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. Who is the first beast? Rome, right? But this beast, she came up out of nations, multitudes, and tongues, and people. This one comes up out of land, no people. All right? And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Now, this first beast is Rome. And causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So she's an enabler. This country is an enabler of the Catholic Church. Of the Pope. And causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, Rome, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And notice it says in the sight of men. That would only be through television. And the fire to come down could be either the space program, which deceived the whole world into thinking that we went to the moon. It could also be the shock and awe that was broadcast when we went into Iraq. The whole world saw live on television and fire coming down from heaven and taking out building after building after building. And this was played on every television throughout the entire world on display as the United States' superiority as a world power. To cause fire to come down from heaven, or it could be heart. Or all of it. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Or as Dr. Wood said, that could be that new super cannon they've got that basically justified the entire city block there in Manhattan. And they said, we've got enough power in that thing to justify an entire state. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. That's the United Nations, the image. Now notice this beast out of the land, USA, was able to give life unto the beast out of the sea, Roman Catholic Church. For the past several hundred years, the Roman Catholic Church has been neutralized. The Jesuits had been kicked out of many countries. It was kicked out of France and different countries. But since John Kennedy, there's been a resurgence of the Roman Church. And Brother Branham, since Kennedy came in, over 350,000 Kentuckians became Catholic. They changed from being Protestant to Catholic. And that was just in a couple of years. because Brother Branham said it. But since John Kennedy, there has been a resurgence of the Roman Church in being the scene, behind the scenes power brokering. That the image of the beast, the USA, should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, the last president made it quite clear with the Patriot Act and his words, if you're not for us, you're against us. And Obama did one step further than the Patriot Act with the National Defense Authorization Initiative, which says the president has a right to kill any American citizen he feels is a threat to this nation. We now live in a dictatorship, and Congress is scared to act just like Saddam Hussein and Hitler took over their countries. Now, I saw a documentary of Saddam Hussein, how when he got into power, he began to purge one senator at a time until they all just buckled down and said, whatever you want, whatever you want. And that's exactly what this guy did, because he took the IRS. He's going after conservative Christians. He's going after different people that just hit them as hard as you can. Bring them into submission. How do you think he got the entire Supreme Court under control? You know the Supreme Court? There are 6 Catholics on the Supreme Court and 3 Jews. 6 Catholics and 3 Jews. Well, not one Protestant. Not one Christian. Country's been gone for a long time, brother, sister. Patriot Act turning citizens into suspects. Turning citizen against citizen. See the one in the middle here. The spy networks. NSA. That's what I say. You've got all these telephones. Look, every conversation you have has been recorded. Everything you said. And I'm sure that you said enough that they could take anything or even splice it and make you say whatever they want you to say. And they've got enough to lock up every person in here, every person watching, and throw away the key. Because you know what? The Patriot Act said, we can throw them in jail. And you know what? They don't even get a trial. You think you're living in a free country? There is no free country on earth. They're all run by dictators. Now, Brother Brown taught us, let me read. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, if you've seen the throne of Peter, we call it the throne of Peter, it actually looks like there's devils all over the thing, big gargoyles and everything else. It says, Vicarius Filii Dei, in the Latin language. And it's interesting to note that the Vicarius Filii Dei, if you add up all, because those are all Roman letters, it adds up to 666. It is also interesting to note that they call South America and Central America, all the Spanish or Portuguese-speaking people, they call them Latinos or Latin America. You know why Latin? Because Latin is the Roman language, which means that those countries are subservient to the Roman Church. And about 90-some percent of the people are all Roman Catholic. They killed the people who resisted. America's on her way. Maybe we'll be called Latinos one day as well. Now, Brother Brown taught us that this mark in the hand and in the forehead is not some tattoo or some barcode, but it is in the forehead, which means it is in the mind, in the thoughts, and then it's in the hand, not on the hand, in the hand, it means it's in your actions. From the mark of the beast, Brother Branham said, now you see what the mark of the beast is. It's the mark of apostasy. It's a person who just thinks that, well, I belong to the church and I'm just as good as the next fellow. Am I not belonging to this church? And you realize that where your church organization that you're depending on, where it come from. Now, do you realize the Bible said, he that worships the beast receives his mark or the letter of his name. Now watch, in the forehead or hand. That's knowledge or deed. That don't mean that you got a big tattoo on your face. It don't have to be that. It's not talking about the outward. It's talking of spiritual. You watch him and see what he knows about the scripture. Listen to him and see where he goes with it. If any man don't have this doctrine, there's no light in him. The Bible said so. See? Watch where it goes. Watch what he does. You say, well, I'm a Protestant. Yes, sir. I belong to this certain church. Yes, sir. And on Sunday, you have just about enough respect for it to come in out of the rain. He goes down, instead of going to prayer meeting, you close up your church and sit and watch television. He goes out here and he drinks and carries on and acts like the rest of the world, yet he belongs to the church. Remember, that's the mark of sin. Close down your church and have a Super Bowl party. That's the mark of sin. It's a mark of apostasy. From why we're not a denomination, Brother Brown said, whom the kings of the earth, according to Scripture, whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Her wine is what she was giving out. It's her stimulation. Isn't it interesting that all this stuff we call the stimulation packages? Where did it begin? Rome. The dollar was getting too strong. They had to make it more competitive. Start giving out. Look, go away from the gold. Put it into cash. It'll become less and less and less every year. We are the church. Well, we're the ones that's got it. See? Now, just draw that in your mind then. All right? So, he carried, like the angel told John, I will show you the judgment that's coming to this great church. Now watch. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. Scarlet, in the Bible, represents royal. The color scarlet means red, and the beast represents power. Did you notice a beast come up out of the sea? That was in Revelation 13. And when you see the beast coming up out of the sea, it meant that this power was rising, was raising up among the people. But Revelation 13, when this lamb came up out of the earth. No people, United States. But then after he had two little horns, civil and ecclesiastical power, and then he received power and spoke like the dragon did before him. So you just got to mark it down. We are coming into a religious persecution with the same things that they did in pagan Rome many years ago. For it's thus saith the Lord. Now, what is it? It's setting upon a beast of power. From the seal of God, Brother Ram said. Now remember, you'll either have the Holy Ghost or you'll take the mark of the beast. There are just two classes. Again, from the mark of the beast said, now, let the Spirit of God come in, come through the hearing of the word. You heard it. That's the Bible. If you receive the mark of the beast, you're lost forever. If you receive the seal of God, you're sealed forever. And there's the two spirits in work is working. And from Israel and Egypt. He said, then Joseph was sold for almost 30 pieces of silver by his brothers. The Jewish church betrayed Joseph. Today, what is it in this church? It's a betrayal. They're getting documents. They're going to try to have a... Well, now, you just keep this in mind. They're going to have a confederation of churches. The Churches of Christ of America have already confederated with all of their churches. And they're going to have a band here someday that'll shut out to fight communism. Which will hook up with Catholicism. With the Protestant Church and the Catholic Church together, and the interdenominations who stand out for the truth and get away from that dogma that they've got, will be persecuted. The mark of the beast, the seal of God, the showdown will come, and brother, if that's not here, if that's not in there, he's talking about if the Holy Ghost is not in you, you'll be deceived as sure as the world. Now, I've watched a few of these political debates, not the whole thing, I can't say some of you. But I watched there, and you got these little pipsqueaks getting up there, and it's all America power, America power, America power. We're going to make America great again. And they say, and the little guy, you know, with the big ears, he gets up there and he talks about how, you know, we're going to go over and we're going to kill them all, we're going to destroy them and all. And what kind of a spirit do they have? It's a demonic spirit. It's a devil spirit. Just like the apostles, when Jesus said, you go forth into all the cities, and if the city doesn't allow you to go, you just got your feet and go on another. And well, they got to a city that wouldn't allow them in, and so the apostles said, let's just call fire down from heaven like Elijah did. And Jesus said, what kind of a spirit you've got? You don't know what kind of a spirit you've got. Those weren't Holy Ghost-filled men. They got the Holy Ghost later on. Then they were willing to die themselves instead of killing others. He said, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you'll be deceived as sure as the world, because it'll look so nice. You'll say, now, if communism made for the world, why, let us make another agreement and bring all the Christians and Christianize the world back. And it looks so good. The people will jump at it. See? They'll confederate the churches and bring and try to make Christianity one unit. And the Bible says in Revelation that he gave his power and everything, that he made an image under the beast and exercised all the power of the beast before him. Sure it is. Wish we had time to hook Revelations in this thing, but we haven't got time, see? So you see where it's at. You're right here at the end time, brother. We're at the end of the age. And in closing, brother, answers, not from straight as a gate, the hour is at hand. Every sensible person that's got reasoning knows that something's fixing to happen. There's not a person in this building that's got it right, its right mind, but knows that this world cannot stand under these conditions. We can't stand, friends. There's not one thing, as your pastor and as your brother, there is not one thing that I can guide you towards this morning but to Jesus Christ. There isn't a thing that I know. Just think of the things that's prophesied to come before the rapture takes place. Everything that I know of is done and fulfilled. You say, well, what about the mark of the beast? That's to come in the tribulation. Now, he's not talking about the mark in the horn. He's talking about that application of it. The church will be gone then. We won't have to mark these done gone. See, the marking's going on now. The marking is the showing forth the brand. Flee to God, flee to Him quickly. Now, let me explain this if I might. Brother Brandon is telling us the branding is going on right now. It's in the soul. It's in the heart, in the mind, in the hand. All right. Either you are receiving the mark of God, which is the Holy Ghost in your soul, and if you do, you will be sighing and crying for all this abomination that's going on. You can't, you'll have soul travail. You just be weeping all the time. Because you see all this nasty stuff, vile stuff going on. Or, he says, you're going to receive the mark of apostasy, which is receiving an organizational spirit. But just as God requires the mark of God, which is His Holy Spirit in you, He also requires you to apply it so that when He comes through the land, He will see it openly displayed. And so the very last thing that God requires of those that have already got the Holy Spirit, He's now calling out. It's got to be applied. It's got to show. When the Holy Ghost comes through the land, He wants to see it in you expressed. He wants to see it in you expressed. And you, and you, and you. He wants to see that light expressed, that mark of God expressed, that seal of God. And you know what? Satan tries to use the same playbook. Satan does not have his own word. He takes God's word and then he puts a twist. He perverts it. So just as God wants us to apply that life, Satan, during the tribulation period, will require that branding, which is already in their mind, in their hand, will be manifested openly. Now, could that be through some digital whatever? I have no clue. Satan's a Satan. He's a god of technology, brother, sister. They could put something under your skin, as far as we know. They're already implanting. They've already got it on the books that the top generals have already approved it. They're going to put in a chip that's about the size of a sugar cube, or they say about 2 nickels, put together. They're going to implant it in the brains of their soldiers. Yep. And this thing then, instead of having to have your cell phone or your watch or all these GPS, it's going to be in there. And the synapse between the electricity and the synapse of the brain will actually trigger it, and it will actually tell you, so you will know. Oh, I know I need to go over to... Oh, this is 0.354 whatever. You know, I'm now at latitude whatever and longitude whatever. They're working on it. You know, I just read another article. They said that they have now been able to save a brain from a person that has died and restore or retain all of its memory. They said we have now are turning and entering into eternal life. That's your science. they're trying to be God. So it's time that God wipe it out like he did in the days of Noah. Just as God requires a mark of God, which is the Holy Spirit in you, he also requires you to apply it so that when he comes through the land, it'll openly be displayed. In the same way, the devil will require the mark to be displayed as well. That means to be seen visibly. Therefore, the mark of the beast will have to be applied at some point during the tribulation period, as Brother Branham refers. Because Satan is building his kingdom and has been doing so for 6,000 years. And Satan has no word of his own. He always has taken God's word and perverted it. So then it is only natural to see that as God requires his token, his seal, to be applied or seen outwardly, so too Satan will one day require his mark also to be applied in order to be seen outwardly. And those who have taken that mark of the beast in their mind and in their actions could one day have to have their mark displayed in order to buy and sell, or they will perish. And it sounds like Brother Branham says that physical mark won't happen until the tribulation period. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we want to just thank you, Lord, for this little history and this scriptural tying together, bringing us up to this day. Help us, Father, as we get more and more into this economic judgment, because I believe with all that I know, this is actually the most damning of all the judgments, because it brings the people to the place of desperation, but that desperation where they will give up their hope in you. They'll give up their trust in you. And they will do anything to keep their flesh alive. So it's a damning thing. It's a terrible thing that's happening. If the sun were to come too close, or Planet X come through, or whatever, flip the earth, and many people instantly killed, that's not so terrible, because even though the flesh is dead, the soul is alive. But Jesus, your son, said, don't fear that which can take the flesh, but that which can take the flesh and the soul. And we see, Lord, that they're bringing to the place where when they control the food, when they control the money, the people can't buy or sell. People will willingly give up their salvation, give up their independent walk as a son of God, one that's led by the Spirit, and they'll willingly say, okay, save my flesh. Help us, Lord, to be in your wonderful kingdom at that hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Pure.